Blog Talk Radio.
That makes you feel delivered and receive it.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It makes you feel healed. It makes you feel blessed and receive it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome.
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 To the preacher.
And the pastor.
I'm Tawanika Manning.
And I'm Dorsey Manning.
And we are the preacher.
And the pastor.
We thank God.
Thank God.
I just want to say to you today, babe, I love you.
Oh, I love you.
I thank God for you. Goodness. Why you look shocked? You looked at me like, you love me?
Today? I love you.
I still love you even more. So, you know, it is my desire to love you more and more and more each day. You know, I just look forward to continuously growing more in love with you and really feeling what the depth of love is. You know, because, you know, God so loved us so much. He gave His only begotten Son. To have that kind of love that you're willing to just give and keep on giving.
I receive it.
Yeah.
Even I'm charging and holding you to that.
All right.
Every single day.
Hold me to it.
I am. Remember what you said?
Got our time.
Our time.
Yes. So today our show is...
Is it love or something else?
Is it something else?
Oh, we're going to dig down.
Have you ever thought it was love and found out it was something else? It was your money?
Plenty of times.
It was what you can do, what you can offer, what you can give in so many ways without saying.
Plenty of times. This is a great topic to talk about tonight. You know, is it love or something else? We'll get a chance, you know, to get more in the depths of it. But, yeah, I've been there. And I imagine we all have been there.
Have you been something else?
Pretty there.
Are you something? You know, sometimes we know we something else. We ain't love. We just something else. But I'm just not saying you. I mean, you know, sometimes you realize you've been something. I've been something else. I've been something outside of love. I was something else. Wanted something else for you.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest to myself. I'm going to be honest to everybody else because, you know, this archive, so I got to tell the truth. I've been something else.
We welcome you all to the Preacher the Pastor Show. We're talking about is in love. Or is it something else? Now, this show will bring much-needed understanding on what genuine love is and its action to give and keep giving. And this, and the Bible also teaches us what love is. So the Bible tells us how much God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for us that we may not perish but have eternal life. So as we journey through this hour about what all people in this world are searching for, whether they admit it or not, which is unconditional love, to be able to have someone to love them through it all, the ups and downs, rich or poor, you know, for women, it's like I gained weight or didn't gain weight. I mean, just through it all to have that unconditional love. And that's the kind of love that God gives to us and understanding what that is, what truly is love. Is it love or is it something else? Have you experienced that and realized it? This is not love. It hurts. You know, I've been there, been on the other side of love. But I know what love is. And if you know God and you have God in your life, then you really have an opportunity to experience what true love is. Amen?
Amen. Amen. God is love. God is love. We were talking about that in Bible study. You know, that's something that we have purpose to do, is to have Bible study. To study the Word of God, because what we are studying, we definitely believe it. We definitely believe everything that we read in the Word of God is talking about love, and it's talking about relationship, man relationship with man and woman, but first man's relationship with God, you know, which is love. So everybody is searching for that love. Every single body is searching for the love. You know, even those ones that don't love you, they still are looking for somebody to love, or for somebody, you know, to love them.
Amen. Amen. If you just tune in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about tonight, is it love or is it something else? Have you thought that person was loving you and you was giving all you had, and then you thought it was love and come to find out it was nothing of love at all? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, and we're going to go 1 through 8 right now, if you can just follow me. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. The Bible says that though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Verse 2 says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4 said, love suffers long. And I want you to take note of this, what the Bible says that love does, because love gives and it keeps giving. It doesn't take, it gives. The Bible said love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own way. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Is it love or is it something else? When we look at these scriptures, Paul gave evidence up to the Corinthians, because he's speaking to the Corinthians in this book of the Bible, the lack of love in the utilization of spiritual gifts. Now, here in chapter 13, defines real love so that you can understand what real love is. In chapter 14, if you want to continue to read, shows how love works. Now, we'll talk about that more here on the show as we talk about is it love or is it something else. Love is more important than all the spiritual gifts exercised in the church body. Great faith, acts of dedication or sacrifice, and miracle working power produce very little without love. So love makes our actions and gifts useful. Although people have different gifts, love is available to everyone. We all have the power to love through it all, to give love through it all. And you don't need money to be able to give love. You don't have to have possessions to be able to give love. And the Bible shows us here how important it is that we love one another. That's one thing that Jesus commanded us to do before he left this earth, is that he commanded us to love one another. Our society, in verses 4 through 7, it talks here and as it applies to our life, our society confesses love and lust. Confuses love and lust. Some people think it's love, but it's nothing but lust. And you'll find it out as it runs out. You see, because love doesn't run out. Love is unconditional, but lust will run out. Lust is conditional, under conditions, and that's why lust doesn't last in any relationship. But love keeps on giving. Lust only gives a certain amount, and then it runs out. Unlike lust, God's kind of love is directed outward towards others, not inward towards ourselves. It is utterly unselfish. This kind of love goes against our natural inclinations, and it is possible to practice this love only if God helps us set aside our own desires and instincts so that we can give love while expecting nothing in return. Thus, the more we become like Christ, the more love we will show to others that are not even, that we feel like are not worthy of love. But the Bible says God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Would you do that? Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus, he said that over in John 13, you know, he said, this is a commandment that I give.
Yes.
So when I look at that, wait a minute. So we are commanded to love.
Commanded.
Oh, now, no.
Yes.
Now, that one is kind of hard to believe with all of these broken people that's around here in this world and all this stuff that's going on. And the next door neighbor won't turn their music down. And they just got all this kind of stuff to cheer and run around everywhere. And here this lady then cut me off while I was trying to get into traffic. Oh, no. I'm supposed to love them, and I'm knowing that they're giving out all this hatred. Why is that, you know what I'm saying, that God commanded us to love? Because he knows. He knows. And I believe, I mean, there are many reasons, but I believe that if you don't love your brother or your sister, then that means you would do just the opposite, which is hate your brother or your sister. So is it love,
Jesus,
or is it something else? Is it something else? Because we know that God is love. God is love. Everything that that's going on, or everything that's happened in this world, how everything relates to everything and everybody, or connected to everybody, is because of the love of God. It's because of the love of God. Now, what we were talking about, you know, over we were reading on Bible, had Bible study. We were talking about Daniel. We're talking about Daniel over here in Daniel 1. It said though how Daniel, you know, he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, you know how they were favored. They were favored, you know, and they had, you know, gifts to be able to do things, which was to interpret a type of language for what it was at that time. But Daniel over here in Daniel 1:17, it says, you know, as for these four children, he said, God gave. And when I see him say, well, God gave, he said, God gave them knowledge and skills in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So we have to realize that, you know, God gave, God loved Daniel just like he loves us. You know, it said he gave him gifts. Now, just imagine if you had a type of gift. Which we all have some type of gift. We all have talents and things, you know, that we are good at that someone else, you know, may not be as good at, or not even at all. But we're talking about, you know, God gave what God gives. When God gives you something, it's for you. It's for you. You have it. If it's a voice to sing, it was meant for you to have that voice to sing, because you opening up your mouth and using the gift that God gave you, you'll be able to bless someone that needs to hear what's coming out of your mouth. Now, I'm talking about a heavenly sound. We should definitely know you got gift to the glory of God, for his glory. If God gave you the gift to be able to interpret dreams, or being able to read or write, you know, I mean, it's for someone. That's definitely for you first, but it's for you to be able to use all for the glory of God, to be able to meet someone or to minister someone. Use your gifts, you know, for ministry. We all have some type of ministry that God wants us to be able to use this gift God gave. Now think about what we can give to God. What we can give to God. We can't beat God giving no matter how hard you try. God gave his son for you, to die for you, in place, to die for you. For all the your unclean thoughts and your unclean feelings, all of your words, all of your things, your words and deeds, everything that that you are doing right now, everything that you have done in your past, God gave his son to die for you. Now, how can we beat God giving if he gave his son? Will I give my son? I'm glad I don't have to. I thank God for giving, and he keeps on giving, and he keeps on giving, he keeps on giving, he keeps on giving. Go ahead,
beautiful wife. Amen, amen. Glory to God. And we're here talking about love. So if you just can't tune in to the Preaching the Pastor show, we're talking about, is it love or is it something else? Because a lot of times we get love confused with hurt. You hear all the time people will say, you know, love hurts. And the Bible declares that love don't hurt nobody. Hurt people, people that are broken. But when you're operating in love, it's long-suffering, it's giving, love gives. And when love gives, love increases you, love heals you. I don't know if you ever heard the saying, and I'm going to go to scripture, ever heard the saying that people need someone to love. They need someone to love, and when they have someone to love, they're able to thrive and live. If you see an older person, and just to have someone to be there with them, and sometimes they'll get a pet that will show them so much love, and that was dead, when love comes in, it gives it life. It, you know, then that's when love gives. Love gives life because love gives. Yeah. Are you love? Are you weighing love? Is love in you that you're constantly giving? You find yourself giving, even in situations that people think you should not give, but you're standing giving. Even the one that has hurt you, that you're able to still give a chance. And people always ask, why is it that people stay in a relationship?
Uh-huh.
Why is it? You know why? Because they have love, because love endures. Love will suffering and go through that thing because instead of giving. So love gives another chance and another chance and another chance. And so, but when we stay in those situations, we begin to get beat down. And so the love we have, it's still the same love, but you've allowed people to beat you down in your loving, that now you either they're going to recruit you or you're going to recruit them. And we were talking about that earlier, being recruited on either you're going to love or you're going to hate. You know, and as we know, hate will destroy each other, but love will conquer all. Love will conquer all. No matter what you're going through, love will conquer all. And as you were talking about gifts, husband, God does give us gifts, and because he loves us, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, the Bible says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So, when we look at the scripture, prophecy may involve predicting future events, but its main purpose is to communicate God's message to people, providing insight, warning, correction, and encouragement. So God wants us to desire spiritual gifts, but first of all, to pursue love. And also the Bible says, now in Corinthians 13:13, the Bible says that, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these three is love. What is the Bible saying? In morally corrupt Corinth, because we're in the book of Corinthians and Paul is talking to the Corinthians, love had become a mixed up term with little meaning. So today people are still confused about love. Love is the greatest of all human qualities, and it is an attribute of God himself. So love involves unselfish service to others, to show it gives evidence that you care. Faith is the foundation and the content of God's message. So hope is the attitude and focus. Love is the action. When faith and hope are in line, you are free to love completely because you understand how God loves. Now, I know when me and my husband got together, and I asked him, how did you know? I was your wife. You know, how did you know how to love? Because some people don't know how to love because they've never been loved. They never experienced it because they never accepted God. They figure, I got to get it from mom, I got to get it from daddy, or I'll never have it. But understand, when you receive God, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, now you know how to love. And so you can tell them the story, you know, how, you know, you went to church and you learned the love of God and you received the love of God. It's all about us receiving it. It's yours to have and receiving the love of God. Now we know how to love ourselves, understanding that God loves us, and now we can love others. Some of us are parents and we don't even know how to love our children. So now we're sending our children out. But I'll tell you this, if you don't know how to do it, give your children the word of God.
so they can receive God and they can receive the love that you did not know how to give them. They receive God yourself. So now that you can know how to love, now that you've experienced love, because some of us have not experienced love because we have not accepted God. We have not accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when you accept God,
Amen.
Now you can receive the love of God. Now
Amen.
You can see what it feels like to be loved. Now you can be healed through love. Now you can be delivered through love. Now you can be set free through love. Now you can receive your breakthrough through love. That is what love does. That's the love of God. And when you have the love of God in you, now you can love your wife. Now you can love your husband. Now you can love your children. I'm not talking about love your children with things and what they want to hear. That's something else. We talking about love. Oh, my God. Is it love or is it something else?
Amen. You know what? How can you expect me to do something or to have something that I never experienced? You know, that's a great question. We said that, and I believe that's that something else. How can I give something? That's that something else. How can I give something? So if I'm the person that I'm always, I got to find something negative to say, or I'm always thinking something, I'm always thinking something negative. I'm always being jealous of what my brother doing or what my sister is doing. I'm jealous of the clothes that you got on, the house that you got, you know, or my sister, she might be driving a brand new car and mine is about 20 years old. You know, how can I give love if I even never even understood what that is? Now, what you said earlier was you said, how did I know? Well, it was one particular time where I realized that, you know what, I don't feel like I am love. And I feel like, you know, that the people that I'm associated with, you know, they're doing a lot of hatred. They're doing a lot of hatred, and they're teaching me a lot of hatred as well. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that because it was certain things that I used to say or do, and I would just be convicted in my spirit. Like, I mean, I just couldn't deal with it. I said it because I just thought I was supposed to say that right now. They're doing it to me. Mm. I'm gonna do it back to them. You say it to me, I'm gonna say it back to you.
Jesus.
But it was almost at the point of I said the exact same thing what they said to me, but it looked like I was suffering more of saying it back to them. Oh man, and I just couldn't deal with that. I couldn't deal with that. You know, I was just messed up. You know, I'm dealing with people that were broken, and then the next thing you know, here it is that I'm broken. Their heart was broken, and then the next thing you know, my heart broke. So now that's all I know how to do is just break heart, because nobody taught me at that particular time. Nobody taught me, you know, saying how to be a peacemaker. Nobody taught me, you know, how to give love. And I had to find out what that is, because what I thought it was, I realized it was just the opposite. It was just the opposite.
Jesus.
And I needed to know. I had needed to know. That was just my desire. It was my desire to find out what real love is. And I did not find that until I decided that, you know what, I'm not going to do this no more. I'm not going to do this no more. I'm not going to say anything no more. If I don't know anything, I know that I'm not going to do that and I'm not going to say that. And I decided, you know, to put on Christ. I decided to get in the Word. And it was one day, and I was just riding down the street, and this one particular church, it was, I had passed by this church, you know, many times. I've been in there before, but I had just passed by this church. You know, I didn't even see it. But this particular day, I was really needing to know something. And I'm telling you, it was just my foot hit the brakes, and I pulled up in the parking lot. And I just walked through the doors of the church and sat down in there. And it was in that moment right there, that decision that I made, you know, to go to God for what it is that I was asking for. Because I knew if I can find love anywhere, it's not out here in the world. It's not, you know what I'm saying, with people that are just out here trying to condemn or to destroy me. When you're going to find love, you're going to have to find love, you know, in the Word. For the Word of God, I mean, that is love. Jesus is love. You know, you read the Word of God, and when you read the Word, you will start to believe it, and you will start, you know, to feel like, oh, you know what? I didn't know that. You can see yourself in a situation, and you can also see yourself coming out of a situation. And I stayed right there. I stayed right there. I made sure that I came back to the church every single Sunday, you know, just to be able to hear. And it went from just coming on Sundays. I had a desire to learn more. I feel like I wasn't getting enough on Sunday, so I started coming Wednesday. I started coming Wednesday, and this was the time where they had Bible study. And it was in that moment. It was in that moment where I had men and women in the church that I can actually study the Word of God with. They'll be sharing the Word that they got. They'll be sharing the revelation and knowledge that they got. I'll be sharing the revelation and knowledge of what I got. And we were putting it all together, and it was building. It was building character. It was building love inside. So now I know, okay, what I was doing, that's not love. But once I got in the Word and the Word got in me, I started to read it and believe it, and I would start to speak. I would say things, you know, that came directly from the Word of God. People can see that. They can see that, and they can hear that. You're not the person that you used to be. You don't talk the way you used to talk, and you're not hanging out, you know, with the people that you used to hang out with. What happened to you? And, you know, it was God that happened to me. It was Jesus that happened to me. That's what happened. And Jesus is
Amen.
Love. God is love. Amen.
Amen. You were saying something there, Pastor, and you were saying that, you know,
uh-huh.
How do I know? And, you know, you hear people all the time, well, what if, you know, we get that what if. What if nobody ever tell me about God? What if nobody, what if I never hear about God? What if, you know, what about the people that's overseas? What if I never hear to know it, to understand who God is and what love is and how God loves? The Bible says in Romans 10, because Jesus told us to go out. He said, go out. Go out amongst the world and spread it from the ends of the world so that all will, you know, that we all will go out and preach, because we're all ministers to minister to one another, that it will go out to the multitude. But the Bible says in Romans, I'm in chapter 10, verse 14, it says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is, chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15 says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. So when we ask why or how I'm going to hear about it, I mean, nobody taught me about God. Nobody came my way. There's always somebody. God will always send somebody. And it's up to you to decide to listen. Because if you look back over your life, at some point in time, there was somebody trying to speak a word into your life. Either you denied it or you delayed it. And you decide to pick it up now in life. But somebody at some point in time, because what God does, he does it completely. So he made sure that somebody will speak a word into your life. Again, it's up to you to receive it. Either you're gonna deny it or you're gonna delay it, and some of us will pick it up when we get ready, and we'll use that excuse, well, nobody told me. Again, but if you look back over your life, because we know that God is everywhere, just like the sky is everywhere, just like the air, God is everywhere. So the question is it love or is it something else? Are you loving God with all of you? He doesn't require us to love him, but he wants us to love him, because the Bible says that he loved us first. And I'm going to take you all over right now. For those of y'all that are tuning in, we're talking about is it love or is it something else? And a lot of us are in marriage, and we're asking ourselves, is this love or is it something else? Because it's hurting me. I'm worrying. I'm walking on pins and needles. You know, are they going to leave me? Are they going to stay? Or what they doing behind my back? That's just something else, because when it's real love, you don't have to worry about it. You can have peace. Love brings peace. Love brings joy. Love brings understanding. Love builds. Love gives. I don't know if you're listening to me. All the giving that love is doing. Love forgives. Love, you know, love is constantly giving. Love is constantly building. Love is constantly prospering. So if you're not giving, then you are not operating in true love. And love is unconditional. You know, people have conditions that they want to love you in. And if, just think about it, if God was that way, if he loved us under conditions, if you do this, if you do that, he loved us. He loves us unconditionally. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, knowing God through love. Beloved, the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. I'm going to say it again. Beloved, let us love one another. It didn't say just love some people. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows who God, knows God. And then verse 8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The Bible keeps telling us God is love.
That's right.
Verse 9 says, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may live through him. And verse 10 says, in this love, now that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Amen.
Love one another. Love one another. It's hard to love one another because we're too busy looking for that something else, a reason to love you. The reason to keep on loving you. Love keeps loving. Love keeps giving. It doesn't stop. Lust will stop. Lust will quit on you, but love won't quit. Love won't stop. Love will keep giving. Lust will stop giving. Lust will quit. Lust will walk away. Is it love or is it something else? As we look at verse 7, everyone believes that love is important, but love is usually thought of as a feeling. In reality, love is a choice and an action. So God is the source of our love. He loved us enough to sacrifice his Son for us. Jesus is our example of what it means to love. Everything he did in life and death was supremely loving. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to love. He lives in our heart and makes us more and more like Christ. Now, God's love always involves a choice and an action, and our love should be like his. How well do you display your love for God in the choices that you make and the actions that you take? We have to ask ourselves that. Is it love or is it something else? The Bible says in verse 8, if we look at verse 8, and I'll let you speak, love. John says that God is love here. God is love. Not love is God. God is love. Again, not love is God, but God is love. Our world with its shallow and selfish view of love has turned these words around and contaminated our understanding of love. The world thinks that love is what makes a person feel good and that it's all right to sacrifice moral principles and other rights in order to obtain such love. But that isn't real love. It is the exact opposite. Selfishness and God is not the kind of love. That's why people walk around, how do my love hurt? Love does not hurt. Real love is like God, who is holy, just, and perfect. If we truly know God, we will love as he does. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So now, you said something when you was reading, I think you was over there in John chapter 3. You started out, you said...
John chapter 3.
It was John chapter 3.
First John?
Right. You said...
First John chapter 3.
You said beloved. You said beloved. So just that right there, beloved.
Yeah.
What the word of God is saying that beloved, like that's God, just speaking and he's talking on to his children, beloved. Like, wait a minute, beloved. You need to know who you
family.
Are.
Yes.
You need to know who you are and whose you are. Because if you know who you are and who you are, you will begin to believe and to trust him. So I can't trust nobody because, everybody and most everybody that I've been around, that didn't show me the opposite of what love is. And that was one thing that I used to say when I was growing up. I might not know what love is, but I sure know what love ain't. So
amen.
Yeah. I was searching. I was trying to find out, what real love was, but I knew what it wasn't.
Jeez.
For sure.
Jeez.
Even a baby knows if you love him or her or not. A baby.
My Lord.
Not even old enough to have one word to come out of their mouth, but they can just look at you and tell if you have love in you or if you have hate in you.
Because
most of the time, a baby will look at you, and they can tell, that spirit, if you got that spirit of love in you, you will make them a smile will come on their face. And you can be close to them. You can be around because they trust you.
Yeah.
What if you didn't have that spirit of love in you? That baby will look at you, and that baby will go to crying. I'm talking about tremendously. That baby would have crying tremendously. And you would be trying to wonder why you're trying to pick the baby up and the baby just crying hard, hard, hard. No, I don't want you near me. I've seen it. I've seen it done. So I'm
Jesus,
just saying that about
that love.
You need to know who you are. Know who you are in Christ. And being in Christ, you know, and then you know that you are beloved. You are that beloved. You are who he's talking about. You know, when you are in Christ, then what you are heirs. You are heirs. You are that promise, you know what I'm saying, to our father Abraham, you know, Isaac and Jacob. That was a promise that God made. Because God made a promise. Made that promise, you know, to our father for you. That you definitely, you know, will be loved and you will live that life of abundance. Abundance.
Yes,
that was the first thing.
Yes.
The second thing that I was thinking about here when you were saying that. That it was a show that used to come on. Actually, it wasn't a show. I think it was a movie. What's Love Got to Do with It? You remember that show? What's Love Got to Do with It?
Well, I think that was a movie, yeah. I don't think it was a show.
It was a movie.
I don't know. Like, you seen
that
the show,
I've
seen the movie. So I don't know. Okay. I don't know about the show, but the movie, I've seen it.
What's Love Got to Do with It? So I was just thinking about that. Most people, I'll be honest, they love something, and it's their money. It's their money or their riches or what money can buy, the things that they have gained or the things that they have, the positions that they have earned. Oh, they love that. People love to show themselves off to be somebody more than what they really can stand themselves. And it's because of the money. It's that money. And that spirit of money, I think it's called the spirit of mammon. That spirit of mammon of what money can buy. And that's what this whole world is pretty much governed by. If you have the most money, then people will love you.
Jesus.
If you have the most money, or if you have the prettiest clothes or the homes or whatever it is, the diamonds or gold, whatever you have. Oh, man, you know, they got favor. They got favor because, you know, they have a lot of money. Most of that is true, but what they had to do to actually get that money or to be able to get those jewels or to be with those type of people or that they will to try to portray themselves as being someone, they are loving the world and they're loving what the world has to offer. They're loving the world and they're loving what the world has to offer. So, you have to really look at yourself and ask yourself that question. Do I really love her? Or do I love him? Or do I love what she can do or what she can do for me or the position that I can be in? We meet people like that all the time. All the time, people, you know, they will see you and they will see you and look, and it looks like, you know, that you got it going on. And they will do all that they can to try to attach themselves to you because I want to be with you because of the person that I can be just by being with you. You know, you're an actor, you're a model, or you work over here at the Exxon mobile station. I don't know what it is.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what it is. But most of the time, people confuse love with what money can buy. Let's just be honest about it.
Jesus.
If that woman didn't have that nice-looking body, which you really had paid attention to it. Now, I'm just going to say some of the things that nobody is really willing to say. Would you really be with that man if his pocket didn't look like it had a lot of money in it? Would you really be with him? Would you be with him if he didn't have $1? Would you be with her if she didn't look so beautiful to you? Would you really do that? Or are you with them because of who or the image that you want to try to uphold or you want to look like somebody? So we need to definitely know that God loves you. God loves you and he loves every single body. Because if you really know it, I mean, if you really realize it, when Jesus Christ died for sin, he died for sin for all people in the world, for believers and non-believers.
Amen.
So you mean to tell me that he gave his life? He gave his life for sinners and believers. Now, that's
Amen.
Love. I'm going to give my
Amen.
Life up for somebody that hate me.
Jesus.
Are you willing to give up your life? Are you willing to give up your hate, your hater itself, to love someone? Are you willing to do that? Amen.
Amen. If you're tuning into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about, is it love or is it something else? If you want to chime in on this conversation, just be honest with yourself. That was what our topic on yesterday. Is it love or is it something else? Were you acting like you love the person just to have what you wanted? You know, were you that something else that was operating with the title of love, but absolutely you were actually being the deceitful one and just carrying a title? That's just like somebody pretending to be something that they're not, pretending to love, pretending to be love. Like, we know some people know how to act like it, but they're nothing like what they say they are. Some people know how to put on, you can put on a uniform. I can put on a police uniform and look like I'm a police officer. And I can go out there and start directing traffic, and people are going to take me to be a police officer because I'm wearing the uniform. So I'm looking like I'm of law enforcement. So some of us are putting on love, acting like it, you know, parading around like love, but then the realness is that you're nothing like love at all. You put on love like a uniform, and you take it off when you get ready because you are that something else. We have to ask ourselves, am I that something else? Am I operating in love? Am I operating with the love of God in me? Do I have that kind of love that's unconditional? Am I with the one that I say I love? Am I really, truly loving them? Or am I being something else other than love? Because if you married or you with someone because of what they can do for you, because the thing is, when you have love, you are giving. You're not even looking to receive. You're looking to give, and you're looking to keep on giving. The Bible said that God gave, and he kept on giving. He kept giving. He gives us mercy and grace each and every morning without asking, because he loves us. We don't even have to ask. When you are of love, ain't nobody got to ask love to give. Love just give because it's love, and that's what love does. It gives.
Amen.
And as you were speaking,
Amen.
Husband, you were saying about knowing when the Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, behold, it says in 1 John 3, I'm sorry, man, I'm in the right chapter. Uh-huh. Behold the man of, okay, let me go down, make sure I'm in the right place. Behold, what manner of love, come again, love?
Go ahead.
We in chapter 3, verse 1, I'm sorry. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. So it's right here, it says, as believers, our self-worth is based on the fact that God loves us and calls us his children. So we know that we are part of God's family.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the love of God. So we are his children now, not just sometimes in the distant future. Knowing that we are his children should encourage us to live as Jesus did. So we have to understand we're part of God's family. We're part of God's family, which operates in love, and we are commanded to love one another. Verse 1 tells us who we are, members of God's family, children of God. Amen?
Amen. So I want to try to do a little exercise. Okay, so we done read scriptures, because, you know, we should definitely, you know, realize that we should be more than just we should be readers, hearers, and doers of the word. I mean, we should read the word of God. We should hear a word from God and practice. Readers, hearers, and doers of the word. So I just wanna see for a second. Okay, God loves me so much that I can sit down at the table and open up my mouth and pray. I can pray, you know, in the name of Jesus and expect to receive all that I prayed about. Now, what kind of love is that? Now,
Amen.
I could be sitting here right now. I could be sitting here right now, and I can be just upset about something. Just upset. But I have the right, because I'm in Christ, I have the right to be able to humble myself down and say, okay, well, God, you said that I can pray in the name of Jesus and I can receive all. What kind of love is that? So let's talk about, so what if I'm sick? What if I'm sick right now and I'm sick and I just don't know how to get well? I've been taking all these medications and it just seems like nothing is working. Just seems like nothing is working. Just seems like I'm just staying right there in that place. The medicine helps for about 30 minutes to an hour. And then when the medicine wear off, I'm feeling just like I was feeling before I even took it.
But the Bible tells us, you know, that by his stripes that we are healed. So you mean to tell me that God loves me enough that he gave healing, he made healing available for me, that he is just enough to heal us if we ask him to heal us in the name of Jesus? Yes, God loves you enough. God loves you more than what you ever can imagine. He loves you more than what you ever can imagine. Over in Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. I read from the New Living Translation. It says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power that works within us, it says, accomplish the infirmities more than we might ask or think." So what that is saying is God loves you way more than you can ever understand. Anything that you can pray for, anything that you can ask for, see, you praying for, you might be praying for your knee to stop hurting, or you might be praying for it to be to deliver you out of that situation that you're in. But God has way more than what you pray for. He loves you that much that your healing, you would be healed.
Amen.
But the testimony that you would have to tell somebody about what God is doing in your life that healed you would also allow somebody else to be healed. Now look how God uses your situation. He uses your brokenness. God doesn't break anybody. He allows certain things to break you because you need to realize that what you're trying to do or who it is that you are trusting in, I need you to know that it's going to fail. I need you to know that it is God that you need to trust. I am your God, and you should trust me, and you should believe what I say and yield to the Holy Spirit, because I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to bring
Amen.
You somewhere.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you just can't tune in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about is it love or is it something else. We are the Gospel Public Ministries. You will find us in the highways and byways of Houston and surrounding areas, for we are the church with all walls. You know, God is calling his people to go out and minister. He's calling, you know, he wants to use us. It is love. Is it love or is it something else? How are we operating? And I want to talk about marriage and me and husband and wife, for those who are listening, what the Bible says about love and loving your mate and loving your spouse. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, the Bible said, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." If you're not willing to do that before you marry her, if you're not willing to give yourself to her wholly, completely, as Jesus did, as Christ did, then you should not enter into a marriage, because the Bible tells husbands to love your wives. Love your wives. So some Christians have thought that Paul was negative about marriage because of the counsel he gave in 1 Corinthians. So these verses also in Ephesians, however, show, when we're looking in Ephesians right now, however, show us a high view of marriage. Here, marriage is not a practical necessity or cure for lust, but a picture of relationships between Christ and his church. A lot of people are marrying because of the sex. Let's be honest, the sex is good, or you make me feel good in that moment, or, you know, it's all about how you make me,
hallelujah.
Oh, I'm going to marry you because you have taken me there. Oh, you have turned me out. I'm going to marry you, but I'm here to tell you that will run out and burn out quicker than anything else. It will crash and burn if you're operating in lust and you have labored in love. I'm here
That's
to tell you, because if you can love her or love him before you get into the bed, before you get to that point, then you can really say, I have true love. This is love. I am operating in love. If you take this away, will I still love this person? If you didn't give me that, will I still love you? Will I still give myself to you? Will I still give my money to you? Will I still give my home, all that I have to you? If you take away that one thing that I'm standing on, because some people are standing on lust and other things and calling it love. But a picture here of the relationship between Christ and his church, why the apparent difference? Paul's counsel in 1 Corinthians was designed for a state of emergency during a time of persecution and crisis. So Paul's counsel to the Ephesians is more the biblical idea for marriage. Marriage for Paul is a holy union, a living symbol, a precious relationship that needs tender self-sacrificing care. We have to sacrifice. If you're not willing to sacrifice,
Hallelujah. Because love does what? It gives. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I believe you done mixed up some stuff. Oh, Pastor, you done messed up something right there. You said, you said about being with somebody because of the sexual relationship is good with them. And that's the reason why, you know, that's probably the reason why that some marriages are still hanging on in there, because I can't let you go because
get out.
The sexual relationship is too good. It's too good, and I don't want nobody to have you.
That's that hanging in there. We talked about that today.
That hanging in there, tolerate. Oh, my goodness.
Trying to hang on to something.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, don't you mess up. Oh, don't you mess nobody up, and they seem to get to thinking about that. But you ain't doing nothing but telling the truth. You're doing
Jesus.
Nothing but telling the truth.
My Lord.
I know this. It's one thing that I don't know. I know that God did not create somebody for me to tolerate. Not in no marriage.
No. Come on now.
He didn't create somebody for me to tolerate in no marriage.
That
no.
means that was your choice. You did that.
You did that to yourself.
Man, you got to tolerate
that it. Gotta be my choice. No, I'm talking about God that knows all, sees all, know what I want before I ask him, and know what I need before I ask. Me tell me I'm going to be in a relationship with somebody that I'm just sitting there tolerating. The only thing that we can do good is just get it between the sheets and make each other feel good for a little while, and then right after be cussing each other out. No. Somebody needs to get help. Somebody needs to get help right now. There's no way that I should be in the other room and you in the other room, because we can't stand each other.
Oh,
I
but when it's time.
That.
When it's time to come together.
Oh, we're going to help somebody. Oh, we're going to help somebody.
Time.
What brought us
together?
What
brought us together?
What brought us together?
There's something else.
You remember when we were talking about, five keys to knowing that if he or she is your soulmate, you just hit one of those keys. You hit one of those keys.
Mm.
You know, whoever it is that you are with, you definitely are physically attracted to him or her. Not only you are physically attracted to him or her, you both have a type of chemistry that is undeniable. That means that you are able to communicate with each other, whether it's your spirit is communicating with my spirit, your physical, your soul, your mind is able to communicate with my mind, your thoughts able to communicate with my thoughts, and also your body communicates with my body. There's no resisting there. You know, it's accepting. It's definitely accepting. That chemistry, that's part of it. And, of course, we said the other three was being whole. Wherever I am is the same place where you are. If I'm hating, then I might have attracted a hater. If I'm a liar, then I might have attracted a liar.
Mm.
If I'm a cheater, then I might have attracted another cheater.
Jesus.
I'm just being honest about it. I'm just being honest about it. You know, that wholeness.
That wholeness.
And then, did you hear a word from God? So a lot of times, you know, we be trying to hold on to something where God is telling us to let go. Oh, no, God don't want you to be over there holding on to that hate. I have somebody for you, but you can't receive who I have for you because you're holding on to the one that don't love you. The one that loves you is right around the corner. You just don't realize it yet because you're still over here hanging on to that hate. You're hanging on to the lie. You're hanging on to
the
cheater.
The night.
You're hanging on. Yeah. Yeah, you're doing that. Hearing the word from God.
Amen.
Now, we're talking about, you know, being in a relationship, being with somebody that's your soulmate. That's what we're talking about, being with somebody that's your soulmate. Can you hear a word from God? And then after, you know what I'm saying, if you can do those four, what's the plan and the purpose? Why we are together? Because God would definitely show you the plan and the purpose, the reason why that you are with the person that you're with. Everybody was created for somebody. And if you are with somebody that you know they ain't for you, you're doing that on your own. You're doing it on your own.
Yeah.
And God tell you, no, I'm telling you to let that go. You don't want to trust me. You don't want to trust me because mama them said that we need to stay together and good. Well, all right, then. I need to look at mama and them relationship and see how they over there quarreling and fighting and everything. So you got to do the same thing with your mama them doing, I guess. Amen. Let me get off of that one. Amen.
Yeah, if you just now tuning in to the preaching the pastor show, because my husband, he's trying to start something up. I'm going to have to get on him. Now you are being something else tonight. We're going
to
get off of tuning in to the preaching
really
the pastor.
That's the only way we can help somebody and help ourselves too. If you just had tuning in to the preaching of Pastor Terrell, we're talking about, is it love or is it something else? You know, a lot of us married and got a relationship for that something else. It wasn't love, and we knew that going in. We knew we wasn't in love with that person. Love was nowhere in it, but we knew how to say I love you. We know how to put up the facade. We know how to get the card. We know exactly what to say. We know exactly what to buy to keep that something else. To be that something else. The Bible says, and we're going to wrap up here. We have about 4 minutes. The Bible says in 1 John 4:17-19, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. Understand this, perfect love casts out all fear. If you're operating in this thing in fear of who you are with, they're going to leave me. They're going to take everything I have. You know, they're going to hurt me. They're going to break my heart. If you're operating this, the Bible says you, there is no fear in perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And then verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. What is the Bible saying? What is the Bible saying here? The day of judgment is the time when all people will appear before Christ and be held accountable for their actions. With God living in us through Christ, we have no reason to fear this day because we have been saved from punishment. Instead, we can look forward to the day of judgment because it will mean the end of sin and the beginning of a face-to-face relationship with Jesus Christ. So if we ever are afraid of the future, eternity or God's judgment, we can remind ourselves of God's love. We know that he loves us perfectly. God has perfect love, and we can resolve our fears first by focusing on his immeasurable love for us and then by allowing him to love others through us. His love will quiet your fears and give you confidence. God's love is the source of all human love, and it spreads like fire in loving his children. God's kindleness a flame in the heart of us and those that love and has the love of God in us. So in turn, they love others who are warned by God through his love. God loves through them. God loves through you. God loves through me. Amen. And we have a couple of minutes left in the show. Love, go ahead. Give food for thought. We have exactly 2 minutes for the show. We'd like to thank you all for tuning in as well.
Okay. Food for thought for today. Be excellent in your spirit. Be excellent in your spirit. The only excellent in spirit is Jesus Christ. So be in Christ. Be excellent in your spirit. And believe the word of God. See, the Bible is life that has already been recorded for you. Believe the word of God. Trust the word of God. Live the word of God. Let the word of God be your decision maker. Let the word of God rule in your relationships. Be excellent in your spirit. A little food for thought for you for today.
Amen. Amen. If you just can tune in to the Preaching and Pastor Show, we were talking about, is it love or is it something else? If you don't know what love is, find God and you will find true love, unconditional love. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:8, it's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. You all, this is a time to love one another, to give, to help, to pour
Amen.
Out. Let us pray for you. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for life, hope, and strength that coming from you. Lord, I
yes,
ask that you
Father,
bless every listener
you,
on the line tonight via internet, Father God.
Yes.
Lord, you know everyone's situation, Father God. Those that do have not received love, that does not know what love is, Father God, we ask that you move on them tonight, Holy Spirit of the living God. Fill their hearts with love, Father God, that they will turn from their wicked ways
yes,
of this
Father.
World, Lord God, and that they will search you, Father God, and find you, that they will knock and you will open to them, Father God, that they were asking you that they can receive all that you have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we all
amen.
Say amen. Father God, we thank you. You all
amen.
Tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. We're here, the Preacher and the Pastor Show. Tomorrow night show, we're talking about, are you fit for the kingdom? 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. God bless you. You all have a good night. Hey, that was a good show, love. I love you. God bless you.
Yeah. I love you, love.
Oh, my goodness.
Love you,
love.
Come on, put your hands together.